Cultural genocide. Leaked documents reveal how China uses AI, mass surveillance to run concentration camps. By Breitbart News on November 24, 2019. AP, the watchtowers, double locked doors and video surveillance in the Chinese camps are there to prevent escapes. Uyghurs and other minorities held inside are scored on how well they speak the dominant Mandarin language and follow strict rules on everything down to bathing and using the toilet, scores that determine if they can leave. Manner education is mandatory, but vocational skills improvement is offered only after a year in the camps. Voluntary job training is the reason the Chinese government has given for detaining more than a million ethnic minorities, most of them Muslims. But a classified blueprint leaked to a consortium of news organizations shows the camps are instead precisely what former detainees have described: forced ideological and behavioral re-education centers run in secret. The classified documents lay out the Chinese government's deliberate strategy to lock up ethnic minorities even before they commit a crime, to rewire their thoughts and the language they speak. The papers also show how Beijing is pioneering a new form of social control using data and artificial intelligence. Drawing on data collected by mass surveillance technology, computers issued the names of tens of thousands of people for interrogation or detention in just 1 week. Taken as a whole, the documents give the most significant description yet of high-tech mass detention in the 21st century in the words of the Chinese government itself. Experts say they spell out a vast system that targets, surveils and grades entire ethnicities to forcibly assimilate and subdue them. Especially Uyghurs, a predominantly Muslim Turkic minority of more than 10 million people with their own language and culture. They confirm that this is a form of cultural genocide, said Adrian Zenz, a leading security expert on the far western region of Xinjiang, the Uyghur homeland. It really shows that from the onset, the Chinese government had a plan. Zenz said the documents echo the aim of the camps as outlined in a 2017 report from a local branch of the Xinjiang Ministry of Justice: to wash brains, cleanse hearts, support the right, remove the wrong. In 2014, Chinese President Xi Jinping launched what he called a people's war on terror when bombs set off by Uyghur militants tore through a train station in Urumqi, the capital of Xinjiang, just hours after he concluded his first state visit there. Built steel walls and iron fortresses. Set up nets above and snares below, state media cited Xi as saying. Cracking down severely on violent terrorist activities must be the focus of our current struggle. In 2016, the crackdown intensified dramatically after Xi named Chen Quanguo, a hardline official transferred from Tibet, as Xinjiang's new head. Most of the documents were issued in 2017. As Xinjiang's war on terror morphed into an extraordinary mass detention campaign using military-style technology. The practices largely continue today. The Chinese government says they work. Since the measures have been taken, there's no single terrorist incident in the past 3 years, said a written response from the Chinese embassy in the United Kingdom. Xinjiang is much safer. The so-called leaked documents are fabrication and fake news. The statement said that religious freedom and the personal freedom of detainees was fully respected in Xinjiang. The documents were given to the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists by an anonymous source. The ICJ verified them by examining state media reports and public notices from the time, consulting experts, cross-checking signatures and confirming the contents with former camp employees and detainees. They consist of a notice with guidelines for the camps, 4 bulletins on how to use technology to target people, and a court case sentencing a Uyghur Communist Party member to 10 years in prison for telling colleagues not to say dirty words, watch porn or eat without praying. The documents were issued to rank-and-file officials by the powerful Xinjiang Communist Party Political and Legal Affairs Commission, the region's top authority overseeing police, courts and state security. They were put out under the head official at the time, Zhu Hailun, who annotated and signed some personally. The documents confirm from the government itself what is known about the camps from the testimony of dozens of Uyghurs and Kazakhs, satellite imagery and tightly monitored visits by journalists to the region. Ertsen Kurban, an ethnic Kazakh who moved back to Kazakhstan, was grabbed by police on a trip back to China to see his mother and accused of committing crimes abroad. He protested that he was a simple herder who had done nothing wrong. But for the authorities, his time in Kazakhstan was reason enough for detention. Those who disobeyed were forced to squat or spend 24 hours in solitary confinement in a frigid room. It wasn't education, it was just punishment, said Kurban, who was held for 9 months. I was treated like an animal. Underscore. WHO gets rounded up in how? On February 18, 2017, Zhu, the Han Chinese official who signed the documents, stood in chilly winter weather atop the front steps of the capital city hall, overlooking thousands of police and black brandishing rifles. With the powerful fist of the People's Democratic Dictatorship, all separatist activities and all terrorists shall be smashed to pieces, Zhu announced into a microphone. With that began a new chapter in the state's crackdown. Police called Uyghurs and knocked on their doors at night to take them in for questioning. Others were stopped at borders or arrested at airports. In the years since, as Uyghurs and Kazakhs were sent to the camps in droves, the government built hundreds of schools and orphanages to house and re-educate their children. Many of those who fled into exile don't even know where their children or loved ones are. The documents make clear that many of those detained have not actually done anything. One document explicitly states that the purpose of the pervasive digital surveillance is to prevent problems before they happen. In other words, to calculate who might rebel and detain them before they have a chance. This is done through a system called the Integrated Joint Operations Platform or IJOP, designed to screen entire populations. Built by a state-owned military contractor, the IJOP began as an intelligence-sharing tool developed after Chinese military theorists studied the U.S. Army's use of information technology in Iraq and Afghanistan. There's no other place in the world where a computer can send you to an internment camp, said Ryan Thum, a Xinjiang expert at the University of Nottingham. This is absolutely unprecedented. The IJOP spat out the names of people considered suspicious, such as thousands of unauthorized imams not registered with the Chinese government, along with their associates. Suspicious or extremist behavior was so broadly defined that it included going abroad, asking others to pray or using cell phone apps that cannot be monitored by the government. The IJOP zoomed in on users of Kwaya, a mobile application similar to the iPhone's AirDrop, which had become popular in Xinjiang because it allows people to exchange videos and messages privately. One bulletin showed that officials identified more than 40,000 Kwaya users for investigation and potential detention. Of those, 32 were listed as belonging to terrorist organizations. The system also targeted people who obtained foreign passports or visas, reflecting the government's fear of Islamic extremist influences from abroad and deep discomfort with any connection between the Uyghurs and the outside world. Officials were asked to verify the identities even of people outside the country, showing how China is casting its dragnet for Uyghurs far beyond Xinjiang. In recent years, Beijing has put pressure on countries to which Uyghurs have fled, such as Thailand and Afghanistan, to send them back to China. In other countries, state security has also contacted Uyghurs and pushed them to spy on each other. For example, a restaurateur now in Turkey, Kurbanjan Nurmamet, said police contacted him with videos of his son strapped to a chair and asked him for information on other Uyghurs in Turkey. Despite the Chinese government's insistence that the camps are vocational training centers for the poor and uneducated, the documents show that those rounded up included party officials and university students. After the names were collected, lists of targeted people were passed to prefecture governments, who forwarded them to district heads, then local police stations, neighbor watchmen, and Communist Party cadres living with Uyghur families. Some former detainees recalled being summoned by officers and told their names were listed for detention. From there, people were funneled into different parts of the system, from house arrest to detention centers with three levels of monitoring to, at its most extreme, prison. Experts say the detentions are a clear violation of China's own laws and constitution. Maggie Lewis, a professor of Chinese law at Seton Hall University, said the Communist Party is circumventing the Chinese legal system in Xinjiang. Once you're stamped as an enemy, the gloves go off, she said. They're not even trying to justify this legally, this is arbitrary. The detention campaign is sweeping. A bulletin notes that in a single week in June 2017, the IJOP identified 24,612 suspicious persons in southern Xinjiang, with 15,683 sent to education and training, 706 to prison and 2,096 to house arrest. It is unknown how typical this week might be. Local officials claim far less than a million are in training, but researchers estimate up to 1.8 million have been detained at one point or another. The bulletin stressed that relationships must be scrutinized closely, with those interrogated pushed to report the names of friends and relatives. Mohamed Ersin Omar, a Uyghur chef arrested after working in Egypt, was interrogated in four detention facilities over 9 months in 2017. Omar told the AP that police asked him to verify the identities of other Uyghurs in Egypt. "I couldn't take it anymore," Omar said. "I just told them what they wanted me to say." Omar gave the names of six others who worked at a restaurant with him in Egypt. All were sent to prison. Underscore. What happens inside the camps? The documents also detail what happens after someone is sent to an education and training center. Publicly, in a recent white paper, China's State Council said the personal freedom of trainees at the education and training centers is protected in accordance with the law. But internally, the documents describe facilities with police stations at the front gates, high guard towers, one-button alarms and video surveillance with no blind spots. Detainees are only allowed to leave if absolutely necessary. For example, because of illness, and even so must have somebody specially accompany, monitor and control them. Bath time and toilet breaks are strictly managed and controlled to prevent escapes. And cell phones are strictly forbidden to stop collusion between inside and outside. Escape was impossible, said Kazakh kindergarten administrator Sarigul Saitbay, a Communist Party member who was abducted by police in October 2017 and forced to become a Mandarin camp instructor. In every corner, in every place, there were armed police. Saitbay called the detention center a concentration camp, much more horrifying than prison, with rape, brainwashing and torture in a black room where people screamed. She and another former prisoner, Ziaumour Diwadi, also told the ICJ detainees were given medication that made them listless and obedient, and every move was surveilled. AP journalists who visited Xinjiang in December 2018 saw patrol towers and high walls lined with green barbed wire fencing around camps. One camp in Artux, just north of Kashgar, sat in the middle of a vast, empty, rocky field, and appeared to include a police station at the entrance, workshops, a hospital and dormitories, one with a sign reading House of Workers in Chinese. Recent satellite imagery shows that guard towers and fencing have been removed from some facilities, suggesting the region may have been softening restrictions in response to global criticism. Shorat Sakir, the governor of Xinjiang, said in March that those detained can now request time and go home on weekends, a claim the AP could not independently verify. The first item listed as part of the curriculum is ideological education, a bold attempt to change how detainees think and act. It is partly rooted in the ancient Chinese belief in transformation through education, taken before to terrifying extremes during the mass thought reform campaigns of Mao Zedong. By showing students the error of their former ways, the centers are supposed to promote repentance and confession, the directive said. For example, Kurban, the Kazakh herder, was handcuffed, brought to an interview with a Han Chinese leader and forced to acknowledge that he regretted visiting abroad. The indoctrination goes along with what is called manner education, where behavior is dictated down to ensuring timely haircuts and shaves, regular change of clothes and bathing once or twice a week. The tone, experts say, echoes a general perception by the Han Chinese government that Uyghurs are prone to violence and need to be civilized, in much the same way white colonialists treated indigenous people in the US, Canada and Australia. It's a similar kind of savior mentality, that these poor Uyghurs didn't understand that they were being led astray by extremists, said Darren Byler, a scholar of Uyghur culture at the University of Washington. The way they think about Uyghurs in general is that they are backward, that they're not educated, these people are unhygienic and need to be taught how to clean themselves. Students are to be allowed a phone conversation with relatives at least once a week, and can meet them via video at least once a month, the documents say. Trainers are told to pay attention to the ideological problems and emotional changes that arise after family communications. Mandarin is mandated. Beijing has said the customs of all ethnic groups and the right to use their spoken and written languages are fully protected at the centers. but the documents show that in practice, lessons are taught in Mandarin. And it is the language to be used in daily communication. A former staffer at Xinjiang TV Now in Europe was also selected to become a Mandarin teacher during his month-long detention in 2017. Twice a day, detainees were lined up and inspected by police, and a few were questioned in Mandarin at random, he told the AP. Those who couldn't respond in Mandarin were beaten or deprived of food for days. Otherwise, speaking was forbidden. One day, the former teacher recalled, an officer asked an old farmer in Mandarin whether he liked the detention center. The man apologized in broken Mandarin and Uyghur, saying it was hard for him to understand because of his age. The officer strode over and struck the old man's head with a baton. He crumpled to the ground, bleeding. "They didn't see us as humans," said the former teacher, who declined to provide his name out of fear of retribution against his family. "They treated us like animals, like pigs, cows, sheep." Detainees who do well are to be rewarded with perks like family visits, and may be allowed to graduate and leave. Detainees who do poorly are to be sent to a stricter management area with longer detention times. Former detainees told the AP that punishments included food deprivation, handcuffing, solitary confinement, beatings and torture. Detainees' scores are entered in the eJOP. Students are sent to separate facilities for intensive skills training only after at least 1 year of learning ideology, law and Mandarin. After they leave, the documents stipulate, every effort should be made to get them jobs. Some detainees describe being forced to sign job contracts, working long hours for low pay and barred from leaving factory grounds during weekdays. Kurban, the Kazakh herder, said after 9 months in the camp, a supervisor came to tell him he was forgiven but must never tell what he had seen. After he returned to his village, officials told him he had to work in a factory. "If you don't go, we'll send you back to the center," an official said. Kurban went to a garment factory, which he wasn't allowed to leave. After 53 days stitching clothes, he was released. After another month under house arrest, he finally was allowed to return to Kazakhstan and see his children. He received his salary in cash, 300 Chinese yuan, or just under $42. Long an ordinary herder who thought little of politics, Kurban used to count many Han Chinese among his friends. "Now," he said, "he's begun to hate them. I've never committed a crime, I've never done anything wrong," he said. "It was beyond comprehension why they put me there.